Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome back. So if you've been living under a rock all day, Jose Mourinho has been sacked as Manchester United manager. We would love to hear your opinions on who should succeed him at Manchester United. You can text us using the number 53106. It'll cost you 30 cent per message. You can also tweet us at Off the Ball or comment on the stream if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube. And I'm delighted to say that Andy Mitten of United We Stand joins us this evening. Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening.
So I don't think many of us were too surprised by this, but were you surprised by the timing of this decision? Did you expect it to happen once their Champions League fate for the season was sealed, perhaps?
Yeah, the information I've been getting was that United were clearly worried about the toxic atmosphere that has been increasing in recent weeks at the training ground, among the staff, among the players, among the fans. But I never heard anything to say that he would be sacked before it became mathematically impossible that he went for United didn't qualify for next season's Champions League, and United are in the last 16 against PSG. So it was a little bit surprising, but the mood's definitely changed in the last 3 or 4 days. I was told on Friday, Mourinho's definitely going and Pogba's definitely going. And I didn't quite know what to do with that piece of information because it was from a good source. And I wrote a piece yesterday, which was basically about the likelihood of those two things happening. And then this morning, we heard the news, and then about 90 minutes later, my mother called me from a bus in Manchester to say, have you heard the news that Jose Mourinho might be leaving?
I can't beat that.
Just talking about it on the bus. I mean, did she think that I wouldn't know? It's my full-time job.
Talk to us about that bit of information. So you heard that Pogba was out and Jose was out. So is Pogba still out?
Well, no, because he's contracted to Manchester United, but there's a problem with him. And when he put that message out today, you saw the backlash from Manchester United fans. Just as I long wanted Jose Mourinho to turn things round, even then it was when it was clear he was failing, I would love to see Paul Pogba become a success at Manchester United. But the fact is, he wants to leave the club. When you look at his Twitter biography, he doesn't mention that he plays for Manchester United. These are not good signs. Now, clearly his relationship with Jose Mourinho has been a bad one. There's been several incidents this year where those two have been at loggerheads. And Kevin's played, you know, having an argument with your manager or other teammates, it isn't isolated. These things can happen. But Mourinho and Pogba did not have a good relationship. That was clear to see. And these are the two most important people at the club. You've got the manager and the person who, in theory, should be the best player. The person who Manchester United went to when he wanted to join Real Madrid, which he did, and said, come here, money was never an issue, you'll be the main man here. If you go to Madrid, you'll be one of 4 or 5 players. If you come to United, you'll be more famous, your profile will be higher. Just look at these social interactions when you were linked to Manchester United compared to Real Madrid, and they got the man. And United fans were delighted when Pogba came, and delighted when Mourinho came. This was the man who 80% of United fans wanted. I was in a minority in 2016 in saying that he should not be the next Manchester United manager. I was writing that and getting hammered for it.
What was your main reason for that?
Yeah.
Well, I'd seen him working closely in Spain. I'd seen his antics as Real Madrid manager. I also saw how Real Madrid fans really warmed to him and sang his name. And he's still very popular there. He's definitely got something in terms of his, you know, you see this miserable man, especially this season, but he was the first Manchester United manager to grant United We Stand a fanzine, an interview since Ferguson. Come in and see us, he said, sit down. We had as much time as we wanted with him. He was fantastic. Now, I'm not stupid. I know that he wants our readers, who tend to be the hardcore match-going fans, rather than a young kid on the internet who's always angry if United don't win 5-0. And he wanted them on side, but he didn't need to do it. And he was good. He was really good. And I said little things to him like, go and support the away, go applaud the away fans at the end of the game. And he said, well, that's not for me. That's for the players. I said, honestly, try it. And he did it a few days later at Sellers Park. And the fans loved it, just as they loved him cupping his ears. You know, Jose Mourinho was a failing manager this year at a failing football club. but he still gave us some great moments. Most recently, when he cupped his ears in Dele Alpi to all the Juventus fans, having masterminded a quite incredible victory, because United were outplayed, but he brought on two very good substitutes and he changed the game. But these were few and far between. He was losing support. The last support was the match-going support. That went in the last month, especially after that 0-0 draw against Crystal Palace. The defeat in Valencia last week was awful. People are paying £700 or £800 euros to go to Valencia. United, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And there's been too many of those games in 2018. Brighton away, West Ham away. As a journalist, I'm sitting in the press conference and he was defending those performances. And I'm thinking, I do not have your football knowledge, but I know what I've seen with my own eyes. This is not Manchester United. This is dreadful. And the club realised it. They realised the toxicity of it and they made the decision today, and the players are happy with it and the fans are happy.
Why didn't they see? Yeah. Why didn't they foresee that toxicity? Like, you talk about being able to foresee what happened here, and I know it's great having hindsight and all that, but I was actually going to ask you anyway, like, the Chelsea situation surely would have sent alarm bells ringing in the Manchester United boardroom that things can turn sour with
Jose
Mourinho
and with Real Madrid.
As you've already said, Andy, like, why didn't this come into the idea of what Jose Mourinho was in the board of Manchester United before he was appointed?
Because there was a lack of football knowledge on the board, because Jose Mourinho was the closest thing after Pep Guardiola, who United couldn't get, to guaranteeing trophies. He was the man with the proven track record. He went to Internacional and won the European Cup. He did it at Chelsea, he did it at Porto. 70 to 80% of Manchester United fans wanted Jose Mourinho to take charge in 2016. The club went along with that. They gave him the huge contract, and his first season was successful. He won his three trophies. Well, if you count the Community Shield as a trophy, it was good enough. The second season up to the halfway point was good enough. The team was getting better. They went away to Arsenal. They won in the league, a really good game. And then it started to turn. Hammered at home by Manchester City. And then the Sevilla game. That was dreadful. But 3 weeks before that, he'd signed a contract extension, and that was welcomed by United fans in the main. But too many things happened in 2018, starting with that Sevilla game, and each time he would lose 5, 6, 7% in popularity stakes. I regularly speak and poll Manchester United fans, and it was going down throughout the year. The pre-season was horrendous. It was a write-off. I was in America covering Manchester United, and the contrast between the way Liverpool did things in United was stark. You had Jurgen Klopp mixing with fans who'd travelled over, proper hardcore Liverpool fans, good people, people you want on side. Liverpool's media department being really friendly, and United was just the opposite of that. The manager was scowling. I said, look, do you want to do an interview? No, he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to communicate with any humans. At one point, I drove 70 minutes across Los Angeles to cover him in a press conference. And he just scowled for 7 or 8 minutes, spoke a load of nonsense. And I thought, do I really want that man as the manager of a football club I support? I started doubting it. He had a point. You know, he wanted to bring players in, but the club also said that he put his demands too late to bring in these players in. And if Manchester United are asked for £80 million to sign Harry Maguire, I can actually understand why the club might say no to that. The market was completely ridiculous. And they said to him, you've spent nearly £400 million on players. You brought two £30 million centre-halves in. You have been backed. And he had been backed. And those players, and they're partly to blame, should have done far more. They should have played far better and won more football games and scored more goals and conceded fewer goals than they've conceded so far this season.
Yeah, Andy, Gary Neville's been very vocal in the last couple of weeks, well, probably the last while, actually, talking about the board and they were basically talking about the lack of maybe football man. You mentioned it earlier on about the football man and what he said on the board there at United. Where does this leave them for accountability-wise within this now? Where is the board going? What are we going to see from United's board over the next year or two? Certainly in relation to the immediate appointment of a new manager and going forward, what are we going to see? Is Ed Woodward going to stay out? Is he going to be still around? What are we looking at from them in general?
Well, Gary's been vocal since he learned to speak. Nothing's changed there. But a lot of United fans, they totally agree with Gary. And you know, I speak to Gary, I know him well. And he's passionate about Manchester United. He wants to see the team doing well. In answer to your question, what are they going to do? they're going to bring a director of football in. They put that to Jose Mourinho. He didn't like the idea. He said, I didn't sign this contract not to have control. You've promised me one thing and now you're asking me to do another. And to be fair to him, I can see that. So that's now changing. A manager, someone with football knowledge will be brought in charge or working closely with the manager. And that will happen in the summer. They've already spoken and sounded out different people. They're doing the due diligence. That will be appointment made in the summer. And the plan is to bring a permanent manager in the summer as well. The clear favourite is Mauricio Pochettino. That's who Manchester United want. They understand that he would come, not mid-season, but at the end of the season. So a sporting director. And that means that Ed Woodward can do what he's good at, which is bringing money into the club, which is doing... He's got a lot of qualities, Ed Woodward. He gets a really bad press, and I can understand why, because he doesn't have a football background. And while he claims he's not making football decisions, well, actually, he's been integral to the football decisions. He might then turn around and say, well, some of them were the right decisions. Not selling Luke Shaw, as Mourinho would have accepted. Not selling Anthony Martial, as Mourinho would have accepted as well. So these things are, there's never black and white. You're playing, there's lots of different shades of grey here. There's lots of percentages being played. And blame can be apportioned not just for one person. But United has not been working well since Ferguson left. You've now on four managers, if you include Ryan Giggs' caretaker role. And the club have slipped. And they continue to slip. The 19 points behind Liverpool today. It's nowhere near good enough. They've spent a lot of money. The signings have been hit and miss, mainly miss. The fans are getting tired. The fans are still turning up in huge numbers. Put another full away end at Anfield on Sunday. I'll be going to Cardiff at the weekend. It'll be a full house again. But they'd lost, they'd given up on Mourinho. They really had. Ed Woodward's not popular with those fans either. A lot of the people at the club are not popular. And nor are a lot of the players. They just don't think they are justifying their huge wages. United have got the second highest wage bill in world football.
Yeah. Andy, I just wanted to ask you one thing about the director of football role there, that Jose Mourinho saying that I don't want to work under a director of football, as if this idea of a director of football is a 2018 idea. Director of football has been around for 10, 15 years at this point. Did the hierarchy at Manchester United not ever think prior to Jose Mourinho that they might need a director of football and prior to hiring Jose Mourinho have a conversation about a director of football with him?
No, they didn't with him, but they did think as time went on that they would need a director of football. So we went back 1 year because I wrote the story originally about the director of football operations. And I checked this story out and was told that this director of football operations will be responsible for X, Y, Z. It's part of the reason is because the club's growing so quickly, new roles are being created. But the key line was he will have no part in transfer strategy. That person was never appointed. So when United continued to fail, that's when they started looking at a proper director of football. Somebody who knows that Palermo's left back is the man to buy. And I gave an example in an article recently, which I wrote. A friend of mine's an agent. He's got some very big players. And he went to Manchester and he met City in the morning and United in the afternoon. And he said City was so well planned in what they wanted in 12, 18 months, 2 years. They knew the positions, the age profile, they knew the players they were looking at. And where they didn't, they said to my friend who's an agent, maybe this is a consideration. And then he went to see United, who he said were starstruck by names, who offered the opinion that the teams who win the Champions League are the ones with the five Galacticos. And he came away to me and rang me and said, I know you're a United fan, but you're so far behind Manchester City. This was 7 or 8 months ago. And now we're seeing that. So there has been a lack of joined up thinking. The club has been extremely well run commercially. There's a lot of great people at the football club. There really is. And there's a lot of people, and even Jose Mourinho wanted it to work out, but it just was not working out. He was in conflict with too many people. And when he lost his assistant, that made things even worse because he brought other coaches in alongside him, but he didn't share the workload. He didn't share his opinions. Did he look a happy man to you? Because he certainly didn't to me.
No, it's true. That's very, very true. Just something else. I don't want to go too much on what Gary Neville said at the weekend, but just something when he spoke about, Andy, where he spoke about the reset button is needed at United. That's it now. We need to draw a line under it all and move forward now. But Can Man United fans, can the club accept that it might be 2 or 3 years before they're seriously challenging again? Maybe even more than that. That's the way that it's looking in my mind. Can they accept that? And will they accept that it might be, we could be going into Liverpool territory here. What are they realistically expecting to come about over the next few seasons?
I think if it goes into Liverpool territory in 26 years, you've got a massive problem
there. Yeah.
We've still got a bit of time left on that. This will be the sixth year without a title. And, you know, mentioning Liverpool, it doesn't help the mood among United fans that Liverpool are so good, that Manchester City are so good. They're the two main rivals. Liverpool and Manchester United are the two most similar clubs in British football. When Gary says reset, how far do you take the reset? Do you sack the guy under turnstiles? You know, there's 900 people who work at that club. The commercial side of the club is actually very successful, but there are problems. The stadium needs development. The Glazers are not popular. They're the owners and have been since 2005. And I do have some sympathy for United in some areas. How can they possibly compete with the sovereign wealth fund of another country? You know, when Ferguson was winning all of these trophies, and it was United and Arsenal at the start of the noughties, Chelsea with Abramovich's billions were not around. Manchester City, with all their money, were not around. And United get frustrated because they feel that they're a successfully run business. They bring their own money in, they spend their own money, they have debts to pay off as well. And in many ways are a model football club. I wouldn't prefer that the Glazers have been allowed their highly leveraged takeover. I don't think that should even be allowed to happen. But that's the situation what it is now. And then you've got to look at why the football side of things is failing. Are they being blinded by the names that I've alluded to before? Well, if you look at the players they've signed, Radamel Falcao, Angel Di Maria, Alexis Sanchez, great, great footballers, but they don't look great footballers within 3 months of arriving at Old Trafford. So do you blame the manager there? Do you blame their agents? Are they blinded by money? Because they're certainly getting paid top dollar when they come to the club. I think a sporting director with real power, and there's been other changes there as well, been huge investment into the youth system. United's youth team beat Chelsea last night. Young lad called Mason Greenwood stood out a mile. There are still a lot of positives there, but this is a setback because Jose Mourinho said to me, judge me after 3 years. That's a long, long time. You'd never get that at Barcelona or Real Madrid. But the club were patient with him. The fans were patient with him. But in the end, it ran out. And I don't think it was unreasonable for it to run out today.
We should get your take, Andy, before we let you go, on what's going to happen in the short term. So there's going to be an interim manager appointed probably till the end of the season before a more permanent solution is found. It sounds like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a realistic possibility of taking over this interim managerial role. What's your take on him as that possible interim manager, Andy?
Well, we're supposed to print the next issue of United We Stand at 9 o'clock in the morning.
You've had a nightmare.
Good luck.
I've had a nightmare. I'm absolutely exhausted. And I've already paid to have the cover printed. So I've now got this reserve option with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which will cost me £400.
And it's a big gamble.
I'd have confidence putting him on the cover because he's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's a legend. Maybe not in Cardiff, where United play at the weekend, but he's a massive hero in Norway and in Manchester. He would get a free pass for a few games. There would be people saying, well, he's not an experienced manager, but he's very popular. He was good at the club. He was popular as reserve team manager when he was working with the younger players. He didn't have a good time at Cardiff. I think he'd bring in a couple of coaches who he worked with at Manchester United. People I know really well who would, again, be well-respected, who David Moyes perhaps shouldn't have let go. And David's since admitted that to me, but he had his own reasons for doing that. So, yeah, Ole Gunnar would be welcomed, I think, at the start with lots of question marks about him. But they would disappear if the team started winning again. I don't think it would be quite that simple.
And then in the long term, what are you thinking? This time next year, who's going to be Manchester United boss?
Well, I think that Pochettino will take the job if he's offered the job, which he would be. Failing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer winning the European Cup this year, which, you know, might be a bit of a stretch. And, you know, he's a climber, Pochettino. I saw him working closely at Espanyol in Barcelona. Then he moved to Southampton and he moved to Tottenham because it's a bigger club. And Manchester United, with respect to Tottenham, is a far bigger club. It would appeal to the ego. The other guy who he should go for is Guardiola. It'd be hilarious. Just say, you know, join a bigger club, bigger history, more successful. And Are you the man you think you are? Come on, manager. Yeah,
you've just pissed off Tottenham and Man City fans there. Straight away in one hit. There you go.
It's pretty impressive, Andy, in like a 10-second period. Andy Mitten, thanks a million, and good luck with that deadline tonight.
The Football Show on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
I'm prepared to do anything I can to
play
my country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
You're welcome along to the Football Show. We are chatting Jose Mourinho all the way till 10 o'clock this evening, as you can imagine. Gary Breen will be with us very shortly to get his take on what Manchester United should do next. And he'll look back on the reign of Jose Mourinho and indeed what Jose Mourinho should do next. Where is he going to go? How badly has he been affected? As ever, Kevin Kilbane is with us for the duration of the Football Show. Kev, how are things?
Very good, very good. So it's Mourinho all the way. I wanted to talk about Blackpool and Solihull Moors in the FA Cup tonight, you know.
So did I. When I woke up this morning, I was like, I cannot wait for a bit of Blackpool Solihull Moors. Yeah. Chat. Yeah. If I pronounce that name correctly there, I'm onto a winner.
Do you know what Solihull is?
South England.
No, North
England.
Birmingham.
There we go.
South Somewhere Birmingham. South Birmingham, yeah.
There we go. I can't wait to make my first
trip to Solihull. Do you know the manager of Solihull Moors is?
Funnily enough, I don't actually. I'm not aware of that information.
Tim Flowers.
Is it really Tim Flowers? Well, there you go. I wouldn't have put Tim Flowers and Solihull together, but we learn something new every single day.
Yeah, I'm digging you out a bit there, so sorry about that.
Thanks a million for that, Kev. First things first, who's the biggest loser today? Is it Manchester United? Is it Jose Mourinho? Is it the players? Who's lost biggest?
You've hit me to good and straight away there. It's been drifting for such a long time. The club's been drifting United. So I think now is an opportunity for United. I do think that it is. Now, if they're going to appoint an interim manager to take them forward to the end of the season, fair enough, and get a strong leader to go in there at the end of the season, fair enough, that's the way they're going about it. They're almost writing this season off now. That's the way that I would see it. I don't think it reflects well on the board. Certainly, the club itself is not reflecting well on the board, the way they've gone about things over the last year. So I think they're a big loser in this. I think the players themselves, we know that there's a fractured relationship between Mourinho and the players. So the players, albeit not necessarily doing themselves any favours with their attitudes, I'd feel over the last while, I think they'll feel as though they're the winners because they feel as though they're going to get a manager that's going to go into the place now, that's going to give them a little bit more spark, that's going to bring that bit of life back to them. So the managers are probably, or sorry, the players are probably the winners out of everybody. And Mourinho, has his reputation been badly damaged? Probably not. I would say probably not. I think he's still considered a good manager around Europe. He's still going to get a big job, no matter what we say. I that's the way that I would see it with Mourinho. But ultimately, there are questions over that real top job. Like, he's not been able to go into Man United and get that initial kick out of them or get that initial bounce out of them. He's not been able to do it. He's not done what he's done at other clubs and win that Premier League or win the championship with that club. And ultimately, I think it's been a pretty miserable time for Mourinho since he's gone into the place. That's the way that I would see it. Yes, you'd look at, he won the Europa League, great. He's won the Carabao Cup, great. But has it been a successful spell for United, playing good attacking football, enjoyment watching them every week? It simply hasn't. It's been coming for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if anybody said it has been any sort of success for Manchester United during his reign. We'd love to hear your thoughts, by the way. You can text us on 53106 or you can tweet us at Off The Ball, particularly Manchester United fans this evening. Who do you want to see as your next manager? It's a strange situation, isn't it? I can't really recall a situation where they've got an interim manager, but he's only the interim manager to the next interim manager, who will then be interim manager to the permanent manager, who's going to be appointed next summer. I don't know about you, Kev, but I'm looking out there and I'm thinking it must not be a very lucrative managerial market at the moment.
Oh, God, yeah, you've made it even more confusing when you put it like that, but you're right. Who's out there that's seriously going to come in and make a difference? It seems to me that they're going to have to go and poke someone if it is. You know, the appealing choices that are available now are, of course, Conte, Zidane. They're the two that are at work. Blanc's been mentioned as well within that as well. They're appealing for different reasons within those three, though. There's reasons within those three. But you only appoint an interim manager because you want someone that's in a job. That's the way that I see it. So the interim manager comes in, takes the job with a view to Man United at the end of this season. That's the way that it looks, that they're going to appoint someone big and they're going to go and poach him from another club. that's the only thing that's suggesting within that. So who is it going to be? Pochettino's being mentioned. I think it would be a great appointment for them, but take nothing away from Tottenham. Tottenham are a big club in their own right. Moving to the new stadium, there's things on the horizon for Spurs where they think we've got positive times ahead of us. So there is a suggestion, or there would be an argument to say that why would he want to leave Tottenham to go to the, I don't know how you want to describe it, maybe the kamikaze approach at Man United. That's probably the way that I'd look at it.
Because when I looked at it yesterday, and we'd heard that there might have been more money on offer for Jose Mourinho had he got sacked before the PSG doubleheader, and if they were out of Europe, then he would have got paid a little bit less. And when you're thinking about that, I certainly thought, well, Manchester United are going to stick with Jose right until the opposite end of PSG. Yeah. So what today's decision tells me is that Manchester United secretly still hope to make a top four position, because otherwise, what else is there? What else is going to change between now and then? It's the next four games, which are quite straightforward in the Premier League for any ordinary Manchester United team. And maybe if they get things back on an even keel this week and they pick up 3 points, suddenly it's 12 points on the bounce and without breaking too much of a sweat ordinarily. And things look a lot more positive. That's my theory on why they acted now.
They didn't want to risk not qualifying for the Champions League. It's unlikely it's going to happen as it stands now, of course, but a new manager coming in would give them that bounce straight away, give them the bounce to get them pushing on, pushing up the league. Now, you say there is a suggestion, it looks like it could have been a true suggestion as well, that if they were to wait until they went out of the Champions League, they're saving themselves £7 million. But what is it going to cost them further down the line? That ultimately, they could be then way out the Premier League race. I don't think they're going to win the Champions League as it stands. If they were to get through to the next round, it'd still mean another few million in the coffers anyway for them. So I think they've probably got more chance of qualifying and beating PSG with a new manager on board than they would do with Jose. So I think what they've done is gone, look, let's just pay him in full. Pay him the full whack that we're due him. The suggestion is about €25 million. If that is the case, what's that? That's United have made a lot of £25 million mistakes over the years, haven't they? So it seems to me now they can afford to write that sort of money off. Let's write it off. Let's draw a line in the sand and let's move forward. That's what they've done, I think, yeah.
The first thing I think when you say that is, if I put myself into Daniel Levy's shoes, if they're willing to pay £25 million to get rid of their manager, they're willing to pay £50, £60, £70 million perhaps to get our manager.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a suggestion last week as well that Tottenham have got some sort of agreement in place with Pochettino now, that if a club were to come in for him, there is a figure in place that the club has to pay to get him. So whether or not that would be the case, I don't know. What would it be? You know, if we're talking about top-class centre-forwards and top-class players, Man United paid £100 million for Pogba a few years ago. The market has even shifted since they paid that £100 million for Pogba. So what would it take to get a manager that's going to be able to get the best out of a Pogba and get the best out of that squad and also bring other players in around it? Is he worth £100 million? You'd have to say yes, wouldn't you? I don't think that's going to be the figure, but that's realistically the figure that could be touted around for Pochettino. What would a realistic figure be in my head? I don't know. You're probably looking at in excess of £40 million, aren't you? Yeah. The way that the game has moved to, that's the way I would see it, yeah.
For sure. Like, the thing is, we've heard quite a bit about Jose Mourinho complaining about Ed Woodward and the lack of autonomy he was given in the transfer market. Probably means that the United hierarchy are thinking quite closely about not only next summer signings, but January signings. Now, granted, the January window isn't what it once was. Teams are starting to realise that there's been a lot of busted flushes from the January transfer window. So we don't expect big business to happen. But how many players do you think Manchester United really need to look out for and sign? Because there seems to be a big disagreement here about whether or not they have the players.
Defensive is the one thing, isn't it? They don't look great defensively at all. Now, that is one thing that Mourinho has been able to get the best out of. I'd say probably at times maybe average defenders. He's got them playing to a certain system that's got the best out of them. They don't necessarily need to move too far. They hold in your position, and by doing that, you're going to be able to see games through defensively as a unit off the back of it. Up front, I think they've still got a lot of attacking talent. I think they've got a lot of good players who a new manager could work with. But I think in midfield, the one thing I looked at it and I spoke about it at the weekend. I was with Nathan at Anfield on Saturday. And I still don't think Liverpool's midfield is that great creativity-wise. I don't think they're that great, but there's a real energy in there. United have got no creativity and no energy. So you probably need to bring a couple more into that midfield that's going to bring a little bit more spark, that's going to provide real energy in there. If you're not going to, like, you look at City and you've got David Silva, you've got Bernardo Silva, and Fernandinho. Fernandinho probably is probably the quickest out of those three, but you wouldn't necessarily associate real pace with Silva or David Silva or Bernardo Silva or De Bruyne to an extent, but they are amazing footballers, amazing with the ball. United don't have that, yet they don't have the energy that Liverpool have. So they've got to have some sort of balance in there that's going to be able to maybe address that balance and address that gap that they've got between those two top sides, and even Spurs as well. Spurs, even this season, look at what Pochettino's done. He's been playing Moussa Sissoko in midfield. You wouldn't think he's the greatest of midfield players, but what he provides real energy, real running power. United haven't got that. So I think overall, I think there's a lot of things that need to be done defensively and in midfield. I don't see United having top-class players in that department, no.
And the thing is, as well, it's such a big appointment for a lot of those players. I mean, the likes of Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial privately must be thinking, God, if I get another crap manager who's going to, I don't know, push me towards the elements of regression in my career, then my career is in a spot of bother. Is there a sort of, am I being too dramatic to say that the next appointment could save the careers of some of those players? Like, Romelu Lukaku is probably the best example. I think it's a bit harsh to say Rashford and Martial's career need saving, because they don't. They're still on the right path, you suspect. But somebody like Lukaku probably does need a bit of a saviour.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're spot on what you're saying. Because I think both Rashford and Martial's career has regressed. It hasn't been great since they both have burst onto the scene. When you were looking at them thinking, wow, these players could go on and be anything that they want to be. And I made the comparison with Rashford and Raheem Sterling to Joel last night. Look at the way their careers have gone. I still feel as though Rashford is a better footballer technically than Sterling. Yet, with a certain amount of coaching, look what Sterling's done and look where he's got to, the level. Rashford's nowhere near that level now. So I think I'm sure those two are looking at who the next manager is going to be. But in relation to Lukaku, I totally get your point that, sometimes we can overstate it and be a little bit dramatic in how we're going about it. But Lukaku, whatever's gone wrong this season with him, and now even last season as well when he was still scoring goals, you were watching him in games and we still had that question over him, even during his Everton career, thinking he's still not top class and he still isn't. I heard there was one ex-Man United player said this season said he's probably got the worst touch of a Man United striker in the last 25, 30 years. And you couldn't argue with that. You couldn't argue with that sort of assessment of Lukaku. So something needs to be done with him to try to get him back on track and take his career going forward, because physically we know he has got everything. And he's got pace, he's got certain attributes, he's got finishing power, but there's certain elements to his game that he needs to improve on. And a new manager coming in, or a different manager with a different mindset, could get the best out of him and those two. And Alexis Sanchez, who we've not mentioned, who, whatever's happened there with Alexis Sanchez, I don't know. Do they cut it now with him? Do they say, well, look, Alexis Sanchez hasn't worked out, we get rid, let's move on from him now and get somebody else in who can do it? There's a lot of things that need to be done with United attack-wise, but I do feel as though there's a lot of talent there, yeah.
But the thing is, we will most likely see, come the end of the season, a very similar team to the one we have now. That, coming back to my initial point about January. So what do you want to see Manchester United do? Like, how do you want to see them set up differently? Is it a formation change or a big personnel change, or is it merely mentality?
Not necessarily a formation change. I look at the full-backs and I look at the two full-backs. Antonio Valencia has been brilliant, played with him at Wigan, probably one of the best players I would have played with, but he hasn't been performing to the level that we've seen of him in a Man United shirt over the last couple of seasons. He simply hasn't been. He's a captain, yes, but I think they need a new right back. Darmian has just simply hasn't been good enough across the course of his career at United. He isn't good enough. That's a fact of him. That's one of the signings that Van Gaal has made, and you look at it and think, how is he a Man United player? Luke Shaw hasn't necessarily produced it consistently. You maybe feel as though there is something to come from him. But if you look at all the attacking sides around Europe over the last 6-7 years, the best sides, even in the Premier League, have got two really good attacking fullbacks. United haven't got that. So two fullbacks, probably. You might not be able to bring them in this window, but certainly the next couple of windows, you need to address that situation. A top-class centre-half, a ball-playing centre-half they don't have. If you've got a Chris Smalling, if you've got an Eric Bailly or a Victor Lindelof, or Phil Jones, if you're going to play one of those four alongside a better footballer, that's what they need, I feel. Are those four players probably at the level of the rest of the centre-halves in the Premier League? No. Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Van Dijk, Stones, whoever. You can list them all off. None of them are as... All those players would get into United sides, that's what I'm saying. So, yes, a new centre-half, a new holding midfield player, or a new player that's going to dictate play. Matic isn't good enough. Herrera isn't good enough. Pogba hasn't been good enough if he's had to play that sort of role. So they need a player that's going to dictate better, play better for them. So I would say, yeah, two fullbacks, a centre-half and a midfielder. Everything else you can probably work with, I would say, within that side. Certainly, to take them to a certain level, they're probably going to be other players that you'll need to bring on board further down the line that's going to bring them to a certain level. But they are the necessities, I feel, as though within United's side at the moment that need to be addressed, yeah.
Given the sacking of Jose Mourinho, how unsure are you of where Paul Pogba is going to be playing his football next season?
I've been reading so often lately that he's leaving in January. He's going to Juve on loan in January. Now, whether or not this changes things, I'd probably say it would change things. But Pogba, and we said it at the weekend again, going back to the game at the weekend, looking at the midfield from Liverpool and United at the weekend, he is the most technically gifted player that could have been on that pitch at the weekend. He wasn't played. He's not been played for a reason. Simply doesn't fit into what Mourinho wants. The relationship's broke down. Whatever's happened internally, I don't know. But Pogba simply hasn't produced it. He hasn't. I feel as though he's slowed the game down for United. He hasn't necessarily been this explosive player that we maybe saw at the World Cup, that we saw that we've seen in spells at United, that we've seen so often before he came to United playing in a Juve shirt with a bit more license to get forward, scoring goals, creating goals. He hasn't done it. He hasn't done it for United. Now, whether that's been the manager, I don't know. Probably he would suggest it is. He may feel as though a new manager coming in could bring the best out of him. Something needs to be done with Pogba, though, definitely, because even that tweet or that Instagram post that he put out today, I've seen the suggestion that it was from his advisors, that his advisors have put that out, but that is unacceptable. That is absolutely outrageous, because a manager leaves a club and you're immediately out doing that, that is unacceptable on every level. And that is something, as Roy Keane suggested at the weekend, that if you've got a strong dressing room, that doesn't happen. That needs to be addressed internally within the dressing room, not necessarily even from the club's board or manager or interim manager, whoever it is. That needs to be addressed within that dressing room.
And we will get Gary Breen's take on that very shortly. Just before we go to a break, I just wanted to kind of float the idea that, say, if you get in a character, I don't know who the character is, but that character comes into the dressing room and is the exact opposite of what Roy Keane is suggesting. The anti-Jose Mourinho, the person who goes in and says, you're the players, you're leaving this dressing room, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to pick the team, but you guys can do what you want, you can do all the endorsements you want, and you're going to be happy men. Would that actually make a material difference?
I don't think they've got the players to do that. I don't think they've got the characters in the dressing room to do that as well. The name that springs or that immediately jumps into me, if you're looking for the manager to do that, would be Zidane. Zidane did that at Real Madrid. He went in, kept everybody happy, got the best out of Cristiano Ronaldo, had a great relationship with Sergio Ramos, who was a big character in that dressing room. But Real Madrid, with a Modric, with a Ramos, with a Toni Kroos, with a Cristiano Ronaldo, a Gareth Bale, they are a different proposition to United at the moment. So no, I think they need someone that's going to go in and get hold of the dressing room, that's going to go in and get hold of them on the training ground and coach them like a Klopp does, like a Guardiola does, like a Pochettino does, whoever it would be. I think they need that type of manager that's going to go in and get hold of that club, yeah.
It would be a gigantic risk for Zinedine Zidane to take Manchester United now, wouldn't it?
Massive, huge. The suggestion is that he's taking Qatar for the World Cup in 2022.
There's some suggestion that Jose might go into that role.
Yeah, that we could see that one now, couldn't you? I could clearly see that one now for Jose Mourinho. But I can't see Zidane going in, and unless he brings in a real top class coach, and Zidane is the figurehead, the manager, the motivator, the one that's going to be on the training ground, yes, and try to get into the players' heads a little bit, and there still is that Zinedine Zidane factor where the players will be thinking, wow, this superstar's coming in to manage us with a top-class coach. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I can't see it. It's a risk for both Zidane and a risk for United. I can't see that being the case, no.
Yeah, like you do wonder as well sometimes if a manager gets criticised too heavily for one failure. So say Solskjaer, who we'll chat about soon, and Gary Neville, obviously. That, I wonder, has the opposite worked its way with Zinedine Zidane, that he's obviously had one spectacular success. And are we perhaps overrating Zinedine Zidane as a manager, given, if like, it's a harsh thing to say, but I know what you mean.
It's
do we need to really wait to see how good a manager he is? Like, his first test of trying to bring a dressing room back on side, and I know he did that at the start with Real Madrid, but they all had the respect for Zinedine Zidane. Like, this is a technically extremely challenging job, I feel. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe Real Madrid was a technically challenging job as well, but I kind of felt it was more of a people managing job rather than this, where there's, as you say, huge level of coaching that's at stake.
I'm with you what you're saying there. I think to Real Madrid, politically, I think it would be a difficult job to take on. You know, when we've had Graham Hunter on over the years talking about the political situation, politics in Spain and football, it's such a difficult one to grasp at times because of how they do the presidential elections and all these sort of things. But I think Zidane at United, I don't think it's a motivational job that's needed. Yes, a certain amount of motivation would be needed, of course it would be, but there are a number of factors at United that need to be addressed. I personally don't think Zidane is that person. I wouldn't necessarily underestimate what he's done at Real Madrid. I think the job he's done has been sensational. It has been an incredible job what he's done. Going into that club, winning, what was it, three Champions Leagues? He won 3 years in the bounce, didn't he? To do that job is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's overrated. So I think,
yeah, I know.
Perhaps you've got a different perception.
No, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean on it. And but that was my point before. That's why I think that Zidane wouldn't be the man to go into the United and to do the job. I think they had a much better caliber player at Real Madrid at the time. And they had won the Champions League, was that 18 months prior to him going into Real Madrid as it was. So they still had the calibre of players that were of that class, but they just weren't necessarily performing under Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text us using the text number 53106. Those will cost you 30 cent. And you can tweet us as well at Off The Ball or comment on the stream if you happen to be watching on YouTube or Facebook. We're getting Gary Breen's thoughts on Jose Mourinho's departure next.
I think I'm ready for it, so I could say I'm happy, I'm proud, I'm honored, I'm everything, but the reality is that what I love is to work, and I cannot wait for 7th of July to go on the pitch.
In May, it was the FA Cup. In August, it's the Community Shield for Manchester United.
Ibrahimovic, with 3.5 minutes to play, and very possibly wins the League Cup for Manchester United.
Manchester United joined Bayern Munich, Ajax, Chelsea and Juventus as the only sides to win every European competition. They've won the Europa League.
I think a very, very good season. We prefer this way than finish fourth, than finish third, than finish second. We prefer this way.
Silva takes, Lukaku defends, and it's a gift for Otamendi, who's in on the scoring act again. And Manchester City are back in front.
King Stoke! We're Man f***ing United here! That is shocking! He got outclassed by Pep there!
Sanchez! Pogba! 2-2! In a flash, the scene has changed! Shades of red on this blue-blue day!
I think there's question marks over some of the players that have been brought in, definitely.
Yeah.
Have they been good enough? No.
I gave a list to my club of 5 names a few months ago. I wait to see if it's possible to have one of these players. If it's possible, it's possible. If it's not possible, it's not possible.
Ben Yedder in here! There's the goal! The Sevilla have been threatening! Vissam Ben Yedder has put Manchester United in deep, deep trouble!
We went from David Moyes, run down the wing, cross it and do that 50 million times. They went from LVG, pass, like team and crab sideways anyway. And now we've gone to park the bus, no taxes whatsoever. Where do we go from here?
If tomorrow rains in London, it's my fault. You know, if there is some difficulty to have the agreement of the Brexit, it's my fault.
He's rapid and he's through and he wraps it up for Tottenham. United's worst start since their very first Premier League campaign in 1992. It's a scoreline that will resonate around the football world. Manchester United 0, Tottenham Hotspur 3.
3-0, but also mean 3 premierships, and I won more premierships alone than the other 19 managers together. 3 for me and 2 for them. Respect, respect.
He's coming out in press conferences, he's constantly having to go at players, he's having to go at people above him because he's not getting what he wants. I think his mouth is probably out of control and I think he's embarrassing the club.
I am the manager of one of the greatest clubs in the world, but I'm also one of the greatest managers in the world.
Back to Shaqiri, deflection!
Gerdou Shaqiri, the super sub. Surely now Manchester United are beaten.
Big breaking news. Manchester United have sacked Jose Mourinho. He was appointed in 2016.
Are they going to get the manager that they want for the next 3-4 years at the football club? It's not just as easy as saying, let's get rid of the manager. Because Manchester United need to reset.
We're half awake in a fake empire.
Right, it is the biggest story in the world of football at the moment, and we're continuing to discuss it in the company of Gary Breen. Gary, good evening.
Good evening, lads.
So we've been speaking to Andy Mitten a little bit earlier on about the structure of Manchester United and how the director of football situation perhaps wasn't something that Jose Mourinho was too enthused by and how that might influence the next decision. But when it comes to a successor, one of the names that we've been mentioning tonight, Kev, as well, has been Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What was your first reaction to that out of interest, Gary, when you heard that name mentioned this afternoon?
Well, my first reaction was, what would the Cardiff fans be thinking of that? Because he didn't impress many there, did he? But again, United keep saying about they need someone who understands the club and maybe getting people in like that, promoting a Nicky Butt, that type of scenario, or getting back iconic players to try and solve the problem. But ultimately, you need people who understand not just what Manchester United is about, but ultimately what modern day football is about. And United, so successful commercially, but on the football side of things, where it matters most as such, they've been found wanting.
Do you know what, Gary, I just wanted just to maybe look back at Mourinho there in the rain and the state that the club room when he took over seemed to be going nowhere. But what, given that what we know about Mourinho and what we've seen from his teams over the years, what do you think went wrong with Mourinho at United in this spell here now, and what's gone wrong this season for them?
Well, ultimately, I look at his philosophy, Kevin. When I say that, and I spoke to Owen about this yesterday, his team's always had a physicality about him. And you've seen his recruitment, the likes of Bailly, Matic, Pogba, Lukaku, he tried to get that back, but that looks so cumbersome now against the fluidity, the movement of Liverpool, City, even Spurs. And I can understand why he's doing it. When you think about that top Chelsea team that we played against when he first came to the Premier League, that strength throughout that spine. But that type of tactic now just seems a little bit redundant in terms of how the other teams are playing. And they look tired. They look like they couldn't get around the pitch. And that's damning for a team and a team of Man United's quality and for a manager as well. But you only have to look at the stats. And we said this yesterday that they're down in 15th or 16th in terms of sprints, distance covered. Yeah. I mean, that's shocking. You can't legislate for that.
So what are you saying in relation to the players then? We saw that Pogba's posted something today as well, and which immediately was deleted. Yeah, but in relation to the talent that's within that side and the money that has been spent on that side, then is there anything that could have been the team could have done different, or personnel on the pitch could have done differently, or do you just solely lay that blame at Mourinho's door?
No, I don't lay it solely at his door. Obviously, he's culpable as a manager bringing those players in, but I think you need to look within yourself as a player now. I know, and we've been in this scenario so many times, Kev, when a new manager comes in, the whole squad starts to produce over that 4 or 5 week period where they think it's a fresh start for everyone. But there's no way in the world I'm convinced that Pogba is going to go in and prove himself a world-class midfielder. Not consistently, anyway.
Could somebody get the best out of him, though, and start to bring this team forward in relation to what they've got there anyway now, though?
In the short term, they'll make improvements. You'll put Pogba back in the team. I bet that's a remit straight away from the hierarchy saying, listen, we need to get this player back in the team. But do you believe or do you trust him to be able to do it over any length of period? I certainly don't. Not in terms of the stature and the quality I normally associate with central midfielders for Manchester United. No way in the world. And I think Pochettino, it's been talked about him coming in there, but I don't think he'll trust him not to consistently produce in a way that his players at Spurs are doing. No chance.
Just one point, like before we get into that too much, is just on that stagnation discussion you guys were just having there and this idea that this season has been a complete disaster. Like, to me, it is a surprise that this season has been the disaster that it is. They've already conceded more goals at this point of the season than they did in the entirety of last year in the Premier League. We kind of forget the idea that they came second to Manchester City in the Premier League last season. What has been the single biggest reason behind the downfall this season, Gary? It seems to me that it is very much a poisonous dressing room that has allowed this team to regress to the point it has done.
Yeah, and he has to take responsibility for that because he's alienated so many players. And I know in the modern day of football, which can be frustrating, you've got to cajole these players. Even when they're the type who you can't really rely on them, you've still got to try and get a tune out of them. But ultimately, in terms of where they're struggling on the pitch, is the very fact what you said they're owing. They ain't got a defence. And all of Mourinho's top teams, his title-winning teams, had a strong defence. The very fact that you talked about the goals they conceded, they gave up 36 chances against Liverpool. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to do that in 10 games under a normal Mourinho team. If you remember how difficult it was to even get a foothold in the game against them. And that's the staggering thing, is that even when he recruited these defenders and the likes of Lindelof, who essentially, when he didn't get him in that first window, but he went so strong and hard for him in the next window, I think it was the summer window, to bring him in, I immediately thought, this guy must be really talented. I know he's young, but he must be so talented. But then when I look at Lindelof now, he looks like a youth team player, that in the same way that Scott Wootton did, that Michael Keane did, not the way that John O'Shea did, in terms of coming in and thinking, yeah, he's the real deal. He looks so lightweight, and that's not taking anything away from him. And he's not alone. There's so many players now who have been at United over the course of these three managers since Ferguson left, who are ultimately good players, but they're not Manchester United qualities. They can't deal with the intensity, the consistency that's required, that every time Man United go to an away ground, they're the biggest show in town. And you've got to cope with that. They can't.
So you don't subscribe to this theory at all, that the difference between Manchester United and Liverpool in terms of playing personnel is quite small, or at least a lot smaller than we saw on Sunday? You think that there's actually a big quality difference in terms of the squad?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Manchester United players there who are not at that quality. And obviously I'm judging them against Ferguson's top teams as such, and the ones that we played against. But certainly I think there's a lot to be done. Don't get me wrong, I think a manager can go in and he can improve them. Yes, I have no doubt about that. But I think a lot of them players have been hiding behind the fact that Moyes was employed and shouldn't have been as such, because he wasn't in keeping with the philosophy of Manchester United. I know Kevin's got a lot of respect for him, and I have as a manager, but he's in stark contrast to Manchester United. Just because he's Scottish and he comes from the same part, don't mean they had totally different philosophies in terms of being successful managers. Van Gaal just looked like a manager they wanted to get in as a big name, but didn't look a natural fit. And Mourinho, his whole tenure has played out how exactly you thought it would do. That there'll be so many managers who felt he wasn't in keeping with the philosophy. And ultimately, it's about perception. Because people think that Mourinho is a negative manager, they felt that he's not going to fit United. But there are many times when Ferguson played counter-attacking football, but no one wants to remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Maybe certainly mid-90s, that brilliant side with Kanchelskis and Ince, and how good they were counter-attacking. I remember that myself clearly. Just something on that Roy Keane spoke about the weekend, Gary. He spoke about perhaps maybe a weak dressing room allowing things to go on that wouldn't necessarily go on, maybe what he's talking, I suppose, about in his day. Do you think that is the case as well? That's a contributing factor to what United have done this season as well?
Yeah, I do. Without a shadow of doubt, I've always felt that one of the biggest tasks a manager has is getting a manager in his changing room, a captain who negates all those type of things early on. I know that's very difficult now in the social media world. It's not something I'm particularly comfortable with, but you have to deal with it. That's the scenario. And all these players, these young players, rightly or wrongly, take their eye off of what really matters is on the pitch. And it's difficult to say to them, don't try and make a career for yourself after football, because they should do. So many top class footballers back in the day are struggling now because they didn't have that opportunity. But I do think it's important. I think a natural leader in there negates so much before it even comes to the door of the manager. Obviously, Mourinho had the likes of John Terry, Frank Lampard bossing those type of changing rooms. And I think it is massive. And it's not just at the top level. We've experienced it, Kev. Ultimately, we're mid-Premier League to bottom Premier League players, but we know how important it is that you have the right type as a captain, as leaders in the dressing room. And United have been really lacking that.
But ultimately, though, if you kind of follow Roy Keane's point to its end point, you talk about, say, the players on one side being perhaps too vociferous, having a little bit too much power in the dressing room, and then you have on the other side poor Jose Mourinho, who's getting completely drowned out by the ego of numerous players in that dressing room. So you could look at today's news as a win for player power and extraordinary player power.
Yeah, and the frustration for me was when he lost his job at Chelsea, because they really flexed their muscles, those Chelsea boys. And I hated that because they'd done it so often over the years. And I was really angry when he lost his job at Chelsea in that second tenure. Not so much now at United, because I felt it was inevitable. I felt that Mourinho had lost his spark a little bit. For no point do I believe he's a dinosaur, do I believe he's yesterday's man as a manager. I think he's an elite level manager. I think he's brilliant. But I never felt that this was a natural fit. The problem you have now is that so many of these players have the ear of the commercial side of a club, the chairman's ear, and it is difficult. And you have to look at a lot of these players and they have to question themselves, really, because so many of them have underachieved.
So I'll take it then from what you're saying there, then you don't think the game has passed Mourinho by then, Gary. Joe was talking about it last night. That's something that's been suggested by a few people, hasn't it? The game has passed him by. He's not in keeping with what current side are doing. So what next for Jose Mourinho then? Do you think he will end up at one of the top clubs around Europe, or is it maybe a time for him to take a break from the game?
I don't know. I think he's the type where we don't know what he'll be thinking himself, but I don't think he's finished at the top level. I do generally think he's finished in the Premier League. I can't see him managing a club here. Well, who could he go to? You know, I know like football often surprises you. The likes of Rafa Benitez becoming a Chelsea manager, bearing in mind the iconic Champions League battles that they had with Liverpool. But the suggestion that he could possibly go back to Chelsea for a third time, I don't believe that. I think his unique bond with those Chelsea players, I'm sorry, the Chelsea supporters has been broken. They don't think of him the same. The only thing I can possibly see is a return to Real Madrid. Mm. I can't see him going to PSG. Thomas Tuchel is there, highly thought of young manager. It'd be interesting to see how he does with Paris in the Champions League going forward. But to suggest that Mourinho is finished, no, I don't buy that for one moment.
Just something that Damien Duff has always said, though, about Jose Mourinho, about his relationship with players and how day-to-day, not just motivational, but just that little spark that he brings to a training ground. You don't necessarily, we certainly haven't seen it this year, we certainly haven't seen it over maybe the last 4 or 5 years, even that's including his Chelsea term as well. Why do you think then it's gone from players of maybe 10, 15 years ago, I suppose, talking about him with such esteem and saying about the presence that he's got? Why is it now that we're seeing this, I don't know, maybe Pogba, again, talking about the post that he's put up, Lukaku, that the relationship seems fractured. There seems to be so many fractures within that club that it's...
What broke Jose?
Yeah, exactly. Why? Why has he changed his personality, his demeanour, his... In press conferences, Gary, and everything, it just...
It's so sullen, and it's frustrating to watch because I think when he's at his charming best, he's brilliant. He's a great value. And you're right, Kev. I remember when Duffer signed at Chelsea, we couldn't pick his brains quick enough, could we? We're desperate to know who. And likewise, Joe Cole's a good friend. I'd be asking him, and the difference he made to the likes of Joe Cole from like a flair number 10 player to actually having some end product. So what has effectively changed? Are we saying that he's changed, that players as such have changed? I don't want to be one of those ex-players who goes, it was different in my day. I don't believe it has changed so much. I just think that ultimately you've got a group of players at United, the kind of headline acts are so temperamental, so having to be cajoled all the time, as opposed to the likes of Duffer, Duffer, Joe Cole, Flair players, but they love football. All they want to do was play football. And if you told them how to get better, they would do whatever you told them. But that group of United players now, the likes of Sanchez, Pogba, and there must be some good players there. Of course there is in terms of that. And there'll be some who are disappointed to see Pogba go, but I don't know. It just seems a bad group, a bad mix at United right now.
And that is particularly worrying from a Manchester United perspective, that how much can a really good motivator do? But just to rest on this point for one more question, Gary, just this idea of Jose perhaps losing what he used to be about, as you say, Kev. Like, you do wonder in terms of his own career how worrying this is, because no longer can he look at Jose Mourinho as this guarantee of like a one-hit wonder where you get him in for one season and you win a league title and then things go badly in the second season, but it doesn't matter, you've got your league title. Because I'm with you on the Real Madrid thing, I can see that happening, but the reason why it would happen is you get that one season fixed. They wanted a Liga title again so bloody badly, and he gets on quite well with Perez. But he didn't get that league title with Manchester United. For the first time in his career, doesn't at least have that big trophy, like that trophy that really matters to show for his efforts.
Yeah, but he'll count it out straight away and say that he won 3 trophies in that first season. I know what you're going to say, you're going to dismiss it, but Liverpool ain't won it, Tottenham ain't won it. So this is the thing that we always had along. To every Man United player prior to him going to Manchester United, I'd ask the question, okay, you know this manager is not in keeping with your philosophy, but will you take him because you'll win trophies? Yeah. Half of them said yes, half of them said no. Now, I know he hasn't got the elusive Premier League title, but there's no doubt he'll win titles. He'll go to Real Madrid, who have a short span anyway in terms of their manager. There's a turnover all the time at Real Madrid. So he'll be back and he'll be challenging. I have no doubt about that.
What do you think is going to happen with Jose?
No, it's an interesting one. That Real Madrid the talk of Real Madrid, it's not gone away over the last 6 months. It was interesting, we spoke about it, I think you would have spoke about it on R2BAM. George Mendes coming out talking. George Mendes doesn't say anything. Why is he coming out backing Mourinho? Something seemed to be going on in the background for a number of weeks now. And I just felt it was only a matter of time before this was going to happen. I said it last night, even when I was on with Joe. If he got sacked tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if he got sacked in 3 months. This was going to happen. But I could see him turn up at Real Madrid just to provide a spark for him on a short term. And then you look elsewhere further down the line. That's the way that I'd probably see it with him, yeah.
Gary, we never actually got your take at the start of this piece on who you actually think should be the next Manchester United manager. I guess it's a two-step process now. There's going to be somebody appointed until the end of the season and then a permanent replacement. If you're Ed Woodward, who are you picking?
Well, listen, there's a lot of people saying he shouldn't be picking the next manager. This is the problem. He's made a mistake of the last ones that... I know Michael Carrick will take over temporary. I think, is it Kieran McKenna will come up and coach the team? Because Michael, only 6 months into his coaching career, won't be able to cope with that. No one would be able to. But ultimately, if you're looking forward in terms of Manchester United manager, and Tottenham fans won't want to hear this, but Pochettino, Kev, we've known about Pochettino since he turned up to Southampton. Everyone was saying, why was he given the job there? We know Paul Williams, who was coaching with him there, big friend of Lee Carsley. So we knew how good he was, and he's proved it at Southampton. Proves it at Tottenham, and everything he's done seems to be in keeping with what Manchester United keeps saying is their philosophy in terms of promoting youth, playing an attractive style of football, and the way he can conduct himself away from it. Now, whether or not they'll be able to get it remains to be seen. They've got a fabulous new stadium. Daniel Levy's not going to give him up. And the problem that Pochettino has is that he's got all these top Tottenham players to sign their new contracts. If he suddenly departs, just a couple of months after they've done that, he'll burn a lot of bridges. But he is a driven manager, and if he thinks he's hit the ceiling at Tottenham, he will go. I've no doubt about that. It's whether or not Manchester United can get him.
Yeah, I just think if they weren't able to get Pochettino then, Gary, would you look at Laurent Blanc's been mentioned, Antonio Conte's in the running, or certainly in the betting, he's one of the favourites for it. Zinedine Zidane is right up there at the very top as well. Could you see United going to a foreign manager again and try to get that some sort of, you know, spark from a bigger name? Do you think that's the sort of fit that would go in there and do a good job?
I think they'll scour the world. I think they'll do that and try and find the best fit. I think a lot of supporters want a connection in terms of ex-players as such. Laurent Blanc probably gives you that. Zidane, I don't know. I'm not convinced by him. And that's an incredible thing to say, bearing in mind that he's won so many Champions Leagues as such. Antonio Conte, it just feels like a Jose Mourinho Mark II in terms of that negative style of football. I know he's a winner, but he'd be upsetting everyone again. I can't see that as a particularly natural fit. So they've got a difficult period ahead of them, there's no doubt. But they have to get it right. They've made a mess of it since Ferguson retired, and this is why they're now suffering in a way that so many other teams have suffered at their hands before. So, listen, you get a taste of your own medicine.
That's it. I guess it could be viewed as a poison chalice at this point. I guess the question is, at what point has it become irreversibly poison, where the Manchester United role is just a job that is just got a complete black mark against it? I do feel that we're perhaps one disaster away from that, Gary.
Oh, listen, I don't see this as a disaster. I think all the top managers in the world will want this Manchester United job. Mm. It's an iconic club. It's one of the biggest in the world. There is quality throughout that squad, and every manager believes that he can make players get back to their highest performances. That remains to be seen, but I think they'll have... I think whoever they lift the phone up to speak to will want to speak to them, without a shadow of a doubt.
Just one thing on that point you make, there's a lot of quality within that side. You spoke about the defence, more the attacking side of it then. So why hasn't Mourinho then got the best out of those players? Because you know as well as I do, Gary, as well, when lad, they listen to what the manager's saying, but essentially, if you've got that type of real quality in your side, it's almost as if they can still play off the cuff and they still can provide that bit of magic. But they just look so low over the last 2-3 months, looking at them getting dominated against some of maybe the lesser teams as well. So why haven't those players been able to produce the form that we actually have seen them at other clubs? Alexis Sanchez, Paul Pogba, Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford. These are players that we've looked back with admiration over the last few years and thought these are going to be superstars, but it's just flitted away to nothing.
Yeah, but in isolation, Kev, I'd say, for example, Pogba, a serial winner at Juve, but he's in a team full of top players, problem solvers that he didn't have to lead the team as such. He was just an added part of it, and he excelled. Take nothing away from him. Sanchez, at a team at Arsenal, serial underachievers. I know he's been successful for Chile, but he's had his injury problems and what have you like that. But you talk about the quality. If someone takes over that job, say a Pochettino, he'd be rubbing his hands to be working with likes of Martial, Rashford. They're incredible players, young players, gifted players, Lingard as well. So there are players there that any new manager will think, yeah, I can get a tune out of these, no doubt. He may well discard the top players that have come for big money, the likes of Lukaku, who, I mean, it was embarrassing, wasn't it? Van Dijk was just swatting him like a child on the weekend. So I wouldn't be surprised. The likes of Pochettino, when he initially went into Tottenham, he discarded Adebayor. He discarded the other centre forward for big money that he got from Spain. I can't remember his name now.
Soldado.
Now, you can imagine Daniel Levy thinking, hold on, these guys got to play. I'm paying them a fortune. But he said, no, I'm going to promote this Harry Kane, who wasn't a Wayne Rooney. He wasn't a Robbie Keane, a Michael Owen, Destin. But he saw something on him and he brought him through, as he has done a number of players. So that is probably also why Manchester United think we need to get him in at all costs.
Yeah, for sure. Gary Breen, thanks a million for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks. The voice just survived. That's about it.
Give him a ball and he out of grass. He'll give you a move with a perfect pass.